Hi, this is Randy Landry, and this is my 10th podcast in my new format, which is now posted in common-sense-in-america.com. It's everything now is in my blog, and all you have to do to find this podcast, well, first of all, if you have one of my Facebook friends, you just click on the link. When I'm done here, I'll put it on there, and it'll take you right to the podcast. Or if you're not, and you're just one of my many viewers or readers on my blog, you just go to the category podcast, and you will not only see the 10 most recent podcasts that I'll have posted on there, you'll also find all the podcasts that I've had posted over the last 4 years from Buzzsprout that are gradually being deleted by Buzzsprout because I no longer have a contract with them. Why pay extra for that when I basically get this all for free on my blog? Well, not free. I'm already paying for the blog services, but the podcast services are no extra charge. So today, I'm going to do kind of like a little bit, not really a rant, but just an update on what's going on in the world, in the country. And basically, I could call this podcast Crying Over Spilled Milk. There's just so many double standards. It's not going to be a really long one. If you remember my last one, I mentioned that I've had my teeth pulled out because they were a freaking mess. And now I'm having problems with the temporary dentures that are causing an abscess in my mouth. So I can't wear the dentures. So my speech may be just a little bit off. But this is going to be the next 3 months. So I didn't want to hold off on doing my podcast for that long, so please bear with me, and if I do have a little bit of a slur once in a while, please overlook it, but hopefully my speech is intelligible. Nobody's said otherwise, except my wife teases me all the time about being a toothless lion. I do have the teeth, but they just hurt like freaking hell, and they've actually caused sores in my mouth now, so I'm taking medicine to get rid of that. But, so, back to my podcast, and crying over spilled milk. There's just so many double standards in this world. It's just like, you know, there's an old saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And it's like, and Trump is, I'm sure, if you're at all into politics at all, you've heard Trump's speech about tariffs and how we've been getting basically butt-effed for decades, ever since World War II, after basically Europe was destroyed by either us bombing the shit out of Germany or other German areas or Italy, or Germany bombing the shit out of the rest of Europe and then Russia, we kind of gave them a carte blanche to do whatever the fuck they felt like doing, pardon my French, to try to get back on their feet. Well, that was a long damn time ago, okay? That was over almost 80 years ago now, if you start looking at that. Actually, it was, okay? And the war ended in 45, and now we're in 25, so it's 60 plus 20, it's 80 freaking years. So how long should we be carrying this preferential treatment? I think 80 years is more than sufficient. The only things you'll see from World War II are things they left as memorials, any damage that may be left, just to show what happened, like also the concentration camps and such. But for the most part, everything's been rebuilt that they wanted to rebuild. And the country's thriving. Well, I can't really say it's thriving because they're basically screwing themselves by allowing open borders and going along with this one world government kind of bullshit thing that world order. I'm going in both ways there. I really have. If everything was equal and people were treated and I had rights, but with this world order, it's going to be basically communism where people don't have rights. They don't have any right to own anything. The only ones who are going to own anything are the ones in power or the very, very wealthy. The rest of us are just going to be minions or slaves. It's going to be back to the days of the monarchy back like in Europe and England and all that, where you had just a couple of classes. You had the ruling elite, or the lords and the kings and queens, and then you had the serfs that owned nothing, that basically just rented the land they lived on and raised what few crops they could to survive with subsistence farming. And then the church. Okay, that was about it. You may have had some owners of businesses and all that, but they didn't really do very well for the most part. So that's what they want, okay? They don't want regular people, middle class. They hate the middle class because the middle class competes for resources for the rich, okay? Now like for world travel, the rich want to be the one to do the world travel. Back in the day, back in the 1800s and 1700s, only the rich traveled, okay? The poor didn't have any money to travel. They couldn't go anywhere. So when they went sightseeing, it was elite. I mean, I'm sure you've seen some movies, or if you're into reading, you maybe read some books about it, that when kids graduated from high school, they went on a world tour, basically, okay, where they spent like a year out there exploring Europe and all that, or maybe going to Africa. But travel was the purview of the rich, venue of the rich or whatever, not the regular people. And so now we're competing with them. So now that everything is crowded and they hate that shit. That's just a small part of it. So they just basically want us to take care of them, wipe their asses and all that, and let them be lorded over us, okay? And keep us frightened, keep us scared. That's one way to keep the population. That's what happened with COVID and all that. When people are afraid for their very existence or their lives, they're willing to give up things just to stay safe, okay? Now, one book, I don't keep on talking about reading, but you don't actually have to read this one. You can actually watch it. It's a very good movie out. It came out in 1984. The book is titled George Orwell's 1984. And I didn't realize it actually came out the same year. And it is a fabulous movie. It's a combination of black and white and color. The black and white's done it for a reason. Not because it had to, but they did it for an entertainment reason, and for input and all that impact. But there's three basic super countries, and two are always fighting against another one, and they keep this state of constant war going. They flip-flop back and forth and change the history accordingly when they flip to the other side to keep people afraid, okay? It also gives them a reason to keep resources down and all this kind of stuff. So people are afraid. It's like, oh my goodness sakes, the other country is going to invade us and all this, and we got to give in and all this kind of stuff. So they really have very few rights, okay? And they're monitored constantly with video cameras, almost like Alexa, but with a video mode constantly. And so it's really bad. And so that's kind of like how they want us to live now, okay? They really don't have any resources. They don't have any possessions but the bare minimum. They have their work uniforms, which basically it's all they wear, okay? They don't really have any nice clothes. When they go anywhere, they're just wearing like a jumpsuit. And it's a very scary kind of situation about how they live. So that's what they want for us. The global elite want us. And they want to keep the population down. So they don't really care when people die. They really, really don't. And it's just like, Trump keeps on saying that he wants to end the war in Ukraine, end the war in Israel and Gaza and all this, because so many people are dying. But he's missing the whole point that that's what they want. They want to keep these wars going because wars keep the population down. All right, and they also force countries to buy weapons. So there's a lot of money made in military and weapon manufacturing and all that. But if these companies got away from manufacturing weapons to manufacturing things that this kind of world could really use to improve, how about building skyscrapers or building buildings or new houses or infrastructure, all that? There's a lot of money in there too, but they just don't want it. I don't know why they prefer weapons and mass destruction, but I think they kind of do, because like I said, it goes right back to population control. They want to keep the population down to actually less than a billion people. I think it's 750 million people is what they would like to keep the population at, which is barely enough to keep the population going or whatever. So I don't know. But so another thing is United States is the one thing, one country that's standing in the way of all this. People tend to follow. Okay, let's say you're in a family, okay, and you've got a big brother. He's the oldest in the family, and you've got a couple other brothers, maybe a couple sisters. So sisters really don't matter as much because they have their own deal. But the brothers kind of always follow the big brother, okay? Or even if there's just two, there's two boys, the younger boy is pretty much going to try to emulate the bigger brother, especially if there's several years in between them. Now, if there's only like a year and a half or 2 years, not so much. But if there's like 4 or 5 or 6 years, he's going to be just chasing after his big brother and all this kind of stuff, especially if he's into athletics and sports. So that's kind of like how it is in this world. Every country, or most every country, is kind of looks up to the United States. All the free countries anyway, or the pseudo-free. And what America happens, what America does, they kind of want to do it. They even copy our music and all this kind of shit. And our movies and the whole bit. And for the most part, you know, they do all right. But, so, if something were to happen to the United States, these other countries would just follow right behind, okay? If the United States got destroyed, then they would be afraid and then they would cave in. You're already seeing this happening in New Zealand and England and France and all that. England is no longer a free country. It's basically almost a military camp, kind of. I mean, they you don't really have hardly any rights at all. And people are being imprisoned or they're having their money confiscated. So just for merit of minor infractions, or they're talking out against the government. And so I don't even know how about travel to Europe, how to England and all this, how that would go anymore. So you'd have to like really watch every damn thing you said. And so I don't know. But so yeah, so if you so what most countries realize, and I think China and the leaders of China are follow suit. They not follow suit, but I mean, they study what happens in other countries, and they take pick and choose, cherry pick what works and what doesn't work. So the Gulf Wars 1 and 2, especially the first one, showed China how powerful the United States was. I mean, we just went in there and just in a matter of weeks, we just leveled Iraq, okay, and the Kuwaiti War, and they realized how powerful we really were. So they knew right then and there that the only way to beat the United States is divide it, destroy it from within. So they've been working at that goal ever since. So they started by infiltrating our government, by bribing, because they've got the money. I mean, just like Middle East, okay, with all the oil money coming in, with the trade deficits in China, China has a lot of money, a lot of new billionaires and all this kind of stuff. And so they had the money to do what they needed to do. So they started bribing our politicians, getting them into our side. Biden, for instance, definitely was receiving Chinese money, and that's why he always kissed China's ass, okay? Too many other politicians have been doing the same thing. So that's Mitch McConnell, the same thing. I think his wife's got something going on over in China, whatever. I mean, it's just like, it's ridiculous. So they think about themselves more than they think about the country. And Trump was one of the first politicians in a long time that's putting the United States first before him. I mean, he's one of the only presidents that actually came out of office the first term poorer than he did when he went into office. The same will probably happen this time. Or maybe not, I don't know. So they're trying to destroy the country from within. And in COVID, not to keep on beating a dead horse, but it was a very eye-opening experience. You saw it, right, point blank, that how they had what was necessary and what wasn't, how they decided. They decided that liquor stores, okay, packed liquor stores and dispensaries for marijuana were okay, were necessary, but churches were not. So when you start thinking about that, religion gives people strength, gives people hope. And when people have hope, they're pretty much unbeatable. Okay, they're willing to do a lot to fight for their rights. But if they have no hope, then it's a different story altogether. So that's the thing. They tried to destroy the will of the people. And that's another way to destroy the will of the people, by keeping the people poor, okay? So how do you do that? You tax the living shit out of people. You charge them too much for all their necessities, food, gasoline, all this kind of stuff, because you want people to live in 15-minute cities where they have to walk, they can walk to wherever they need to get to in 15 minutes, or maybe ride the bus or whatever. So that's what they want. They want to keep the people poor. Poor people that don't have anything in belongings or really anything to keep them going are very easy to manipulate. Okay? So that's what they want. And they accomplished that quite a bit. But things are turning around because now Trump, at least for the right side anyway, and I don't mean that the right is the right side, I'm just saying the right as opposed to the left. But we are right, and the left, for the most part, is really going after weird, stupid shit that has no real value at all except to destroy the country and the moral fabric of the United States. Okay? Why do you think they're pushing? That's another thing. People with morals tend to be also stronger, okay, more virtuous. And that's why they're making it so sex, gender, reassignment, all this kind of stuff, so because they know these kids can't have children afterwards. So that's cutting down the population, abortion, reducing the population, and changing the population by allowing immigrants to come in. They know after like a couple of generations, they're going to start voting the other way, but they don't care. They'll just keep on letting more people come in. So they'll keep the population. We're Democrat, okay? When they can't win, they'll cheat. But that didn't work out so well for them in 2024. So, Trump learned a lot in his 4 years off between the two terms of office, 45 and now 47, president. So, he's now back in office and he's doing things. He's trying to equalize and make things more equitable, economically speaking anyway. I'm not talking about diversity and DEI and all that shit. I'm talking about economics, equitability. Most, like I said, back to those tariffs now, okay, I'm talking about them a little bit more. Most countries, especially Europe anyway, limited what we could import or export to them. But, so, they'd have like really high, I know one example, and that was Harley Davidson. I heard about this a few years back, that Harley Davidson owner talked to President Trump. I think this is what kind of started it. He told them what kind of tariff they were posing on the Harley Davidson motorcycle. It's like 75% or sometimes even more. So he basically couldn't sell any motorcycles in Europe. People really, really wanted to have a Harley Davidson to kind of spend that kind of money on it when they could get Yamahas much more cheaper or I think Maserati makes motorcycles as well, or such like that. But yeah, the European motorcycles or the Asian motorcycles. So for some reason, they get preferential treatment to Japan and China for their motorcycles. That I realize that that's not the only thing. I mean, when you go to Europe, you very seldom see American cars at all. They're all Asian cars or from Japan or whatever like that or from Europe. You don't see Fords and Chevys and all that kind of stuff. Mainly because most of our, I think that's part of it has to do with the fact is that most of our cars are midsize or larger. And Europe has a tendency to prefer because gas prices have always been higher there. And the streets are narrower and all that kind of shit. They prefer smaller cars. And the United States just doesn't like smaller cars for the most part. So that could be part of it. But the major part of it is that they've kind of blocked the American products. Now, I understand about the food. Okay, our processed food sucks. Really does. It's made for taste, not for nutrition. All right? And it also has addictive qualities in it. They've figured out how to suppress satiation in people, which means is that people know that they, when you've eaten enough, you're full. Okay, if you were to eat a big apple or a grapefruit, whatever, you'd be full. Okay, but you could sit down and eat a whole bag of Cheetos and not be full in the least, because your appetite suppression has been well suppressed by the chemicals in the food. Your body doesn't know that it's full, that it doesn't need any more calories, and it's happily turning away. And the more you eat, the larger amounts of food that you eat, the bigger and more stretched out your stomach is. Now, why is it that the portions in American restaurants are so big? You go to Europe, the portions of food are much smaller. Okay, I know I went to France and the meals are smaller. You tend to eat smaller portions. You may eat a few more meals. They tend to have like their snacks and stuff like that. But you don't eat a lot in one sitting. Okay, you may have a croissant and a cup of coffee for breakfast. You don't sit down there and have a 3-egg omelet with bacon and toast and maybe pancakes or waffles or whatever like that. So for years and years and years, our meal size has gotten bigger. Now, back in the day when a good portion of the population worked in menial labor, whether they were like manufacturing or in farms and all that, they burnt off a lot of calories, and so they needed big meals to survive, to keep their weight, because they were burning off thousands of calories a day. Now it's not the case. A lot of jobs are sedentary, and we still kept up with those big meals. They think we need the big meals, and it's a value. Now I go to a restaurant, my wife and I, and it's like we get 2 or 3 meals off a meal at a restaurant. We very seldom can eat the whole thing. Now, again, I am taking Ozempic to keep my weight down, so it does suppress my appetite a little bit, which is kind of like I'm taking Ozempic to suppress it, and then the food I'm eating is getting rid of that suppression. It's kind of like, fighting against each other. It's amazing. So when RFK Jr. finally gets everything done the way he wants to, hopefully some of these things will change and food will improve the quality and the chemicals. So, like I said, is a lot of the food products they will not accept in Europe because of the chemicals. Or these companies have gotten away around it. They actually have less chemicals, like Fruit Loops in Canada has fewer ingredients. And the food coloring is natural food coloring from like berries and such. But the food coloring used for the Cheerios, the Fruit Loops, is artificial in the United States. I mean, come on, what is that? Does that decrease the shelf life? Maybe, okay. Less preservative, so they have to sell it quicker. But it doesn't seem to make it any cheaper. And the same thing, there's like over 1,000 ingredients and additives that are not allowed in Europe. So if these companies want to compete, they have to produce two systems. It's kind of like Microsoft back in the day of Bill Gates. He wanted to sell his Windows software to China, and China said, oh, no, you don't. No, your software is buggy as shit. You're not selling us the software that you've been selling the rest of the world. You're selling us better software that has fewer bugs and that is less susceptible to viruses. And he did. He made a software package that was better. Okay, it cost him a little bit more money to do it, but it was a bigger, big market. We made him a lot of money. Why couldn't he have done that in the United States? He basically did one row of beta testing, and after that, the people were the beta testers. That's why you had every new program that came out for Windows had several patches that finally, after 2-3 years, got rid of the problems that he didn't want to spend money on getting rid of. Okay, so crazy, huh? Yeah, so it shows when you have the proper incentives, you can do things the correct way. But they're trying to destroy our country from within, make us poor, make us weak, and more malleable. So now all this got turned up on its end. So now Trump is saying, okay, you've been charging us all these tariffs. We're going to have reciprocal tariffs. Or in the case of China, Canada, and Mexico, China producing the fentanyl, and Canada and Mexico allowing illegal aliens to come across the border, and fentanyl to come across the border, Trump said, we're going to charge you a little extra money until you help, stop us, because we're thousands and hundreds of thousands of people are dying from fentanyl poisoning and overdosing. Well, China say, no, you can't do that. Oh, fuck you and all this kind of stuff. We're going to charge you higher tariffs and we're not going to let, you sell the United States products into Japan, China, or companies will open up in China. Well, they've been doing that for decades, okay? It's not been a two-way street here. You go to China and you find hardly anything American over there. But the only thing they want is like the chicken and that kind of stuff and meat. And the problem is now that they're buying our companies over here. So they're selling to themselves. So, like I said, crying over spilled milk. Canada charging 200% tariffs on butter and milk and egg products and all this kind of stuff. And cars and all that. And we've been just letting it happen. We have trade deficits around the world. Why do you think we have such a large debt? Okay. It's because of the trade deficits, all right? And we give billions and billions of dollars to all these countries besides. So not only are we having a trade deficit with these countries, we're giving them money on top of it. So I posted a posting because Barry Cunningham, one of the podcasts I listen to, and Fanfare, and he was commenting about why we have what the debt. And I said the debt was incurred by the Federal Reserve, basically. That's when the United States has a deficit spending, they contact the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve prints new money. That's why we have inflation. That's why the value of the dollar has been dropping precipitously the last several decades. Pretty much we've had a problem with the national debt ever since the Federal Reserve came out. So you got the Federal Reserve making money out of thin air. There's no gold standard anymore, which used to keep the value of the dollar pretty well stable. And ever since Nixon, he got rid of that. He thought it was a limiting factor, a liability. So now there is no way of backing the money, and there is, but it's really not very good. Okay, so you pretty much have carte blanche to print unlimited amounts of money, but every time you do, inflation goes up and the value of the dollar goes down, which kind of helps them with their debt is also because of the value. If you borrow a dollar and it's only worth 50 cents a year later, well, you still only owe a dollar, but you technically really only 50 cents. So it kind of keeps the budget a little manageable. But, like I said in my posting to him, is that the United States knows that the Federal Reserve is making printing this money up. So there would be nothing to stop them from just saying, well, we're resetting. We're going to get rid of the debt. But screw you. We're not paying any more interest. You made enough money off the vapor money. So now Federal Reserve goes, aha, we got you. We're going to make it so you have to pay, because if you don't pay, you're going to screw the world. Okay. So they've been selling off their debt as an investment for Social Security and for the 401ks, all right, in the form of bonds. Okay, so there's the debt. Also, certain countries, I think China's gotten some, and Japan and all that, have bought in some of the debt. And some of the European countries, like Denmark and all that, have some of our debt as well. So if we just say we're going to do a reset, we're screwing everybody, including ourselves. So we're kind of stuck. We have to pay the damn debt off, or at least a portion of it anyway, because we would cause global mayhem. Maybe that's what they want. Maybe they want to back us in a corner. The interest we're paying now in our debt is one of the largest things in our budget now that we have to do. Actually, it's more than our military spending, and it'll surpass our Social Security payments and all that, Medicare, Medicaid payments. All right, so that's unsustainable. So we have to pay off our debt. We have to reduce it somehow. And those are things I've been posting out there and telling President Trump that we need to balance the budget. We need to have a surplus. Okay, so we can pay off the debt. As simple as that. And so, which means we owe $36 trillion. We have to stop increasing the debt, and we need to pay off a minimum of $2 trillion every year on the national debt. And even that is going to take almost 20 years. I mean, because we're not going to be able to maintain $2 trillion all the way through. So, pay off the debt. That's insane, all right? And how, in 20 years, can we guarantee that we're going to stay in power, Republicans, that they're going to keep going it that way? Oh, they're going to go, oh, we're down to $10 trillion. That's good. We don't need to go anymore. We don't need to go anymore. So there's no way in hell that they are going to do that for that long. So basically, we're screwed. We're just kind of like, the stuff Trump's doing, yeah, it sounds great. We're trying to get rid of all the spending that's wrong and all this kind of shit, but it's not going to last. The only consistency in this world and in our country and our government and in corporations is our lack of consistency. That makes sense. I've worked in corporate America now since I was 21. Okay, prior to that, I worked for my brothers and all that kind of stuff. So I worked as selling produce, mowing lawns, all that kind of stuff. But I didn't work for corporate America. It was family-owned businesses. Since then, I've been working for corporate America, either in retail or in hospitals or all like that. So I've seen a lot, okay, and how they make decisions. And basically, bean counters and accountants run everything. And they just, that money, why are you doing that for? Well, that part of the budget is not included in this part of the budget. And I said, but it comes out of your top of your money, your profit margin. Well, it doesn't matter, because it's not going to affect me, not going to affect them. And just the decisions they made and the money they spent was crazy. And basically, that's what our government does too, okay? It's like, we've got money left over, so now we got to spend it, because if we don't spend it, they're going to say, you don't need it, so it's going to cut our budget. Okay, but that money you've been given is taxpayers' dollars, and you're hurting yourself as well, because you're a taxpayer as well. Wouldn't you like to pay less in taxes? So, I don't know. And then the double standards, okay, they have better retirements and all that. Manufacturing companies realize that they cannot have retirements, these people. It was killing the companies, all right? But the giant auto companies and all that, they made them, almost made them bankrupt. Because, well, when you only have a few people retired, but when these companies have been around for 50, 60, 80 years, whatever, you start getting several generations of people that are retired, okay? And you just, you're spending all your profits paying out pensions. So they found out you can't do that. That basically retirement had to be up to the people themselves, back to how it used to be, with Social Security helping out a little bit. But our government didn't figure that out, okay? So they're still giving pensions for all these civil servants and these politicians, which is like killing us. So the budget, a lot of money is being spent on that. And then they get preferential insurances and all this. So they don't care, because they don't have to worry about Social Security because they get their own federal pensions. In some cases, it's like 75 to 100% of what their income was. So that's insane as well. Now, I can't complain. I mean, if Social Security is still valid or whatever, by the time I retire, but I'll have to work until freaking 70 to do it, we'll be making pretty good money. And if Trump keeps his word and the government keeps their word, they're going to make it so you don't have to pay taxes and Social Security. Okay, we'll see. Now, our government is working against President Trump. I don't know if this is true, but it's supposedly the Senate is saying that they don't want to charge Canada tariffs. Why is that? Why? Why do you want to stop charging tariffs for? What is the point in that? It's so they will cut down in the money coming into the country, and so they'll have to keep taxes high. And why have they made it so the tax break he got when he was a first-time president, now they still haven't renewed it, and it's going to expire soon, so our taxes are going to go back up. Why haven't they done this for? They knew this was going to happen, but they do it on purpose. They delay things on purpose so they keep people frightened and scared, and they can do these last-minute budgets and all that that they always try to do at the end of the year so they can go on Christmas vacation, and they ram it through these super bills that take up thousands of pages and are just full of pork and fat and crazy spending. It's just like a broken goddamn record or crying over spilled milk. So I guess that's about it. I'm kind of like rambling a little bit now, but I think I've covered a lot of bases with this. And hopefully I've given some information out there that will help you a little bit understand why things are the way they are. And it's what drives the world is greed. Okay. Greed. You got the seven deadly sins. I've gone over this before, so I'm not going to repeat them again. But people are greedy, okay? They want money, and when they get the money, they want power. And they don't care what they have to do to get it, all right? Simple as that. People are selfish. What makes them less selfish is religion, for the most part. So, I don't know. All right, guys. You have a great day. And as always, watch your six. And I didn't touch base on everything, but there is just too much out there right now to go on. So, you take care and have a great day.